Exactly. Welcome to another episode of a gaming podcast, episode 31. I'm so happy April Fool's Day is done. We don't have to deal with all that madness. We are going to recap some of that. But Sammy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. I've been, as we were kind of like discussing before we were recording, playing a little bit of Stardew Valley, a little bit of V Rising. It's just a little bit of everything. Yeah. Including Divinity Sin 2.
I was about to ask, what happened to that game?
Literally just always assume I'm playing it for the next 2 years.
All
yeah.
Right. Sounds about right. Steve, how about yourself? Steve Sailor.
I forgot.
Yeah, sorry. Like, which one?
I'm doing okay. I'm tired. I'm ready for my show to get out the door. It starts tomorrow. When does this go up?
Wednesday.
It'll go up tomorrow.
Wednesday? So okay, so it'll be tonight. It's tonight. It will launch at 7 p.m. Eastern. So, I'm just like, we were just talking about before the show, but I was like, I've taken like basically a month to just work solely on this. I haven't streamed. I've barely made any videos other than my own podcast stuff. And I'm ready for this to go out the door. I love the show so much, but I'm like, I just need to get out the door so I can actually, you know, build up a workflow of like, okay, now let's figure out how to be able to fit it into my schedule. So I'm not just taking up all my time.
Awesome. And then Steve V, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little sleepy after the long weekend. That really did a number on my sleep schedule, getting back into it. But man, I'm really glad April Fool's Day is over, because that was a nightmare to get through.
I agree. I think the sleepiness also deals with the weather. It's really like this cold for no reason today. So
it's cold and warm another day, and then I couldn't sleep one of the days because it was so warm in my apartment. I was like,
wake up sweating.
I'm not about this life.
That is the best thing. Waking up.
What?
Waking up sweaty?
So whenever, no matter what time of the year it is, like seasonally weather-wise, anytime I go to a hotel in my house, I always have the heat turned up to 22.
What is that? Why? Mean?
That's like 73, 74?
That's not bad.
Are you Canadian?
I can't, but like my thermostat has always been Fahrenheit.
It's 71. No. Apparently 22 is 71 degrees.
Yeah, so I always have it on that. Like sometimes when I go to hotels, I'll turn it up to a little bit of a 26 kind of thing. Because I do that too.
Hotels,
I love sweating in my sleep.
Well, I don't know about the sweating. I don't say I like to sweat. No? I just like a warm room. Okay. Because sometimes some rooms have just been abandoned for so long and they're so cold. You have to like kind of warm it up a little bit, but like
you warm it up with the
optimal is like cold room, big blanket.
Yes,
I was gonna ask, are you putting on a blanket? That's what I asked. Yeah. Oh,
I mean, that's why
and a space heater.
I did a whole cocoon, I tucked my
like a little cinnamon roll, exactly. Yeah. You gotta cinnamon roll it up.
The heat,
yeah, but like, then, why do you like it till the point of sweat?
I just feel like obviously when I'm going to sleep, I'm not sweating, but I do sweat throughout my sleep, and it just feels like I had a good rest, you know. Like,
but then don't you wake up and you're like, well, now I gotta clean my sheets every night.
Well, no, I'm not sweating that much where the sheets are like drenched. It's just like
I feel like this is falling apart at the seams here.
What did you learn on your trip? Did you learn something new? Like what's going on here?
I'm sweating in my pajamas. You change that every day.
Sure.
And you shower.
Yeah, but sometimes that sweat kind of like seeps through.
You can't control that, Camille.
You change your pillow like maybe every other day, like the pillowcase, but...
Wait, what?
What?
I wash my sheets. You know,
thank you, Steve. You're a rational human being.
Yeah, the sheets every week, but your pillowcase, that's where like I drool. So that's where the drool's going. That's where the hair product's sitting. You just flip the other side.
Yes, thank you.
Did you ever experience the cold side of the pillow? That's where it comes from. You know, flipping the pillow over.
No, because she just sweats through it. It's hot side of the pillow. Hot side of the pillow. It's just two sides of the.
No, I see. I can't. Like, we can't do this. My bed, the vent in my apartment from like where my AC and my heating comes through is like right above my head. And I purposely put my bed, it's positioned it in right there so that that way, whenever the AC comes on, it's just a nice cool breeze just kind of coming around. Like, it is.
You could sleep with air conditioning like blowing on you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Why do you think I wear hoodies in the summer? Because I keep my, apartment at like a steady 72.
No, like fan, I can't. Like
no fan, exactly.
Fan is just like just blowing. You're just blowing the whatever hot air, cold air, whatever's in the room.
Yeah, I get sick.
What do you mean?
I get like a little.
Nasal.
If you're sleeping with it, like just facing you, can't do that. It's always like slightly off to the side.
Yeah, but like, you know, the thing is like the AC's not on all the time.
What's going on here?
Steve, I can confirm anytime I slept with a fan, I do get like a throat like cold. Like
It's like congestion. Yeah.
It's a dry throat. It's not
No. I actually get sick. Like,
I don't understand how this is.
I have to point out that
I'm happy to say maybe it's a Caribbean thing. Maybe it's a Caribbean thing. Maybe it's a Caribbean thing. I get sick. I'm letting you know.
This could be.
I'm just letting you know. I get sick.
Different genes.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the genes. We need to put this section alone on the internet. We need other people to chime in.
I do.
Set a poll right now.
No.
Are you
team my concerns?
Are you team fan?
That's the least of my concerns. I need to know about sweating at sleep.
The sweating part, I don't agree with. Yeah.
Because if I'm sweating in my sleep, I feel like I had a bad night. Because that reminds me of like when I'm like I'm sick and like I have like a fever. Like I'm sweating in my fever out. That's the feeling I get whenever I'm
fighting for my life.
Sweating a fever out.
It gets too hot.
Yeah.
So why not bring that energy?
Because I don't have a fever and I'm trying to be cozy in my bed.
It's the fever of the world. You're carrying the world's burdens on your shoulder and you can just sweat it away, huh?
I think you need a water bed at this point. I think that's like what's going on.
Maybe
what's happening?
She's just existing in doom. Like, you know, she's like every molecule of water she's just reabsorbing, she's sustaining herself.
Last one. Throughout the year, do you guys sleep with a blanket or like two at least? Like a sheet?
Well, like a blanket. Sheet and a comforter.
Yeah.
Throughout the year, right?
Yeah.
Other than like hot days, and then I take the duvet off. Yeah.
Sometimes I sleep like underneath the bed sheet if it gets too hot.
But you still need something covering you.
Of course. Otherwise the ghost will get you.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are weirdos. Right? People that don't
Although
do that
it is weird. Sometimes I'll find myself that apparently it gets in the middle of the night. I'll just flip the covers off and then I'm just because I sleep in my boxers. So that's basically like, and I'm just
happens in the middle of the night happens in the middle of the night. But when you go to bed.
When I go to bed, it's like I'm under the covers. Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We're on the same page. That's all that matters.
No, we're not.
We're not on the same page.
Sweep us under the rug. Yeah, we are not on the same page.
If I am not bundled up in like a warm cuddling, like of the blanket and like while it's like nice and cool in my apartment, I can't sleep at all. Like I legit needed to be at least cool.
But yeah.
Now I need to know how many pillows does everyone sleep in? Because like for me, I'm like at least five.
But just one.
I surround myself.
Is there enough bed left? Like, what's going on
Barely.
Here?
What the? Like, when it's me and Corbin, I will, like, be like, no, my pillow's not
Corbin, even Corbin, get off.
Bed
at all, or is he, like,
get
a little
off,
sliver?
Corbin. Is that, is that enough pillow?
Luckily, he's a tall and skinny guy, so, you know, we all fit.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Have you ever caught where he fell off on the bed at any point?
And he just lies on the pillows.
I mean,
like, we both have full beds, so it's like, there's not that much room, and like if one of us is constantly in danger of falling off,
is that the bed?
That's the bed. Like,
do you make
a
fort? Like, what's going on? Does you put like a pillow?
I'll have like the king size pillow that I kind of like hug. Then I have like one for my legs, and I'll have like one or two for my arms. And then I like the behind me too. I don't know.
So what you're telling me, it's what you're saying is when you sleep, it's like a battlefield. You protect yourself, and pretty much your partner is left to defend himself
We go back and forth. Sometimes I almost fall off. Sometimes he almost falls off.
Okay.
We're going to have at least a queen size bed when we have a house. So it'll be fine.
I used to be able to sleep literally it's either one or two pillows. I used to have basically where I would sleep with two pillows underneath my head, mm-hmm. just to kind of prop up my neck a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Cause I know I snore. And I used to think that could actually can kind of help. And it does sort of when I'm sleeping on my side, but I found that it's my neck just kind of does it just hurts in the morning. It just kind of feels like a stretch. So I just went back to just the straight, just regular size pillow, just one pillow. And then that's it. Mm-hmm.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
I also have various, I have an extra hard. I have an extra soft. I have every kind of firmness of pillow too.
I thought about doing that at one point, but then I was just I just found one action. That was Jesus just kind of
just nice. Goldilocks of pillows over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Corbin's not gonna have any room in that bed. I'm telling you right now. Just get another bed.
Although I will say that I do invest in my pillow. I don't buy the cheap pillows. It's a nice pillow. It's a little bit expensive, but that's why it's a little kind of that perfect Goldilocks sort of not too hard, not too soft kind of deal. Because I find that hotels. This may be because we travel a lot.
Yeah.
So the pillows in hotels suck ass.
They're awful.
Soft. I need four or five of them just to be able to even just have a proper head resting on my pillow.
Especially, are you a side sleeper? Because you can't. You have to have at least.
And also, what do you do with your hand? Okay, this is something I'm dealing with right now. So before I went away. That's so sad.
This is why you're not.
Let me finish.
This is why you're not sleeping anymore. It's up late Stardew at 6 a.m.
I'm contemplating my sleep, and that's why I've been playing Stardew till 6 a.m. in the morning, pretty much every night, especially throughout this long weekend. But before I was in Brazil, I very seriously injured my back. I had to do extensive chiropractor and physio, and my chiropractor was saying what's the best pillow, what's the best positioning, putting a pillow between your thighs is really good when you sleep. But now I'm left with the question, what do I do with my hand that's under?
So
do you extend it out? Do you tuck it in?
This arm's always in pain for me because I sleep this. Constant.
Oh, you do that. Pain. Okay.
But that's just how I sleep.
So whenever I'm usually it's it depends on, which side I'm sleeping on, but it'll always be okay. So if I'm sleeping this, basically my right arm is kind of just propped up underneath the pillow on the side and just kind of bent like that. And then my other arm is extended just kind of on my body.
We're the same sleeper, Steve.
Although one time, because sometimes I'll take a nap during the day, and I'll just I don't even bother with sleeping on underneath blankets because I just sleep on top of the bed. And there have been times where I legit would be I'm sleeping like this with my hands like this. I don't know why.
I've done that
the whole coffin pose legs crossed. But when I'm regularly sleeping throughout the night, it's side, arm extend, and then that's it.
Marcel, do you do the same?
I just fall asleep. I don't know.
See, I can't do that because then, when I'm holding my Switch playing Stardew, and then I reach to plug in my Switch and then plug in my phone and I put it to the side. So I fall asleep like this, and it's very awkward.
Oh.
And myself.
How are you even holding your Switch if your hands are so sweaty?
They're not.
That's what makes her sweaty.
That's the
ventilation is just
blowing on her all the time and everything.
Yeah. Well, what? Welcome to a sleeping podcast.
If you haven't figured out yet, can we even introduce Camille? That's Camille's back, everyone. If you haven't realized, Camille's back. But there you go. Welcome back, Camille.
Have your intros been this long since I've been gone? I feel like Steve was nope,
not even
you're
close.
The distraction, Camille.
All I wanted to say was that I was tired, and here we are 20 minutes later into a show talking about sweating in her sleep. My fault, I guess.
You're bad. Your fault.
I'm glad you learned your lesson.
But I am back, and I'm really happy to be here with everyone. I've been traveling around. I got to see the Gundam that they took out of Yokohama. It moving, and that was a pretty cool thing. But my sleep, I thought last week I could blame it on the fact that 2 weeks ago, what is time? Oh, last week, whatever week I got back, I was like, maybe my sleep schedule is messed up and that's why I've been playing Stardew. No, I'm addicted to the game. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, yesterday was April Fool's Day. I'm glad it's over because it is the worst time, especially if you are covering media, because everyone's just, you don't know what's real. And then some people will be like, you know, I'm just going to put this out because they will think it's not real. Now it's a good time to even test out some things. And, you know, for me, I think the worst one I saw that kind of hurt my dreams and everything was a Dreamcast Mini, because that is something I do actually.
Oh, I saw that too.
And yeah. I was like, why would you tease me on this? You know, like, I don't know. Did you guys see
my two favorite that I saw? The one that I was like, I saw, I knew it was an April Fool's joke, but it was one that I wished it was real, was the Cyberpunk floppy disk of 97,000 floppy disks. Like, yeah. I wanted that to be real so bad, just so that someone can actually be able to have it. And I wanted it to be me. And the second one, speaking of what we were just talking about earlier, was the Pokemon sleep tournament, where you basically see how good your sleep is for like 8 hours and 30 minutes. I'm like, I would love that. I would just that put me really in a tournament for sleeping for 8 hours. Great.
That should definitely be a thing. Like, I feel like so many people would just be reporting on it. So much great time to sleeping. As gamers, we get a bad rep for not sleeping.
Right.
Yeah.
This is like,
hey, you sleep really for good. A very long time.
Me?
Yeah.
If
like,
I
like, had, what's the like, longest could, you think you can sleep?
I could definitely sleep through a weekend. I know, swear I could sleep throughout a weekend. I could sleep so long.
Wow.
Corbin literally, like, his schedule was broken, so he stayed up and then went to bed at like 4 p.m. last night and then got up at 10 p.m. or a.m. this morning. So that's like, it's pretty long.
I wish.
I average like maybe 6 hours a night, and I can't, like, if I try to be able to do like longer than like nine, I'm like, my back starts to hurt, and it just like, I need to get out of bed because I've been lying down for so long.
And then you do the turnaround, that's all.
I would do that, but you know, that's what it sort of extends it up to nine. But yeah, like I used to be able to do, like, sleep in a lot, and I used to love it, but now I'm like, no, I'm just sleeping the day away.
6 hours is a good night for me.
Yeah,
same. Really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, if I can get up, like, if I can go to sleep by around like midnight and wake up around, you know, 7 a.m., 6, 7 a.m., that's a good day. That's a good night's sleep.
All right. Anyone else see anything crazy for April Fool's Day? Did anyone see the Virtual Boy Pro, I think it was called?
The IGN.
Yeah, that was
a good video.
That was pretty good. I think that was like the one that I was like, oh, dang it, it's April Fool's. I'm getting off the internet and going to play Stardew. So I didn't actually see a lot of it.
But then there was one that a lot of people, like, they would not do this. And they, of course, they did it. And they had Wishlist Hollow Knight Silk Song. And the other
one is,
specifically on Xbox, because it was on Nintendo Switch and the PSN Network as well. I don't know why I said PSN Network. Anyway, you know what I mean.
ATM machine.
Yeah, ATM machine, exactly. So, but Xbox, Sarah Bond actually retweeted it again today. Just to be like, hey, make sure you do wishlist this game and everything. So it sounds like maybe it is coming soon, maybe?
I mean, Marcel, you were next to me when we heard some pertinent information about this. I mean,
what?
I'm not going to kiss and tell, but... Yeah.
You just did.
I didn't tell anything. All I can confirm is
that there was a lot of kissing. That's it.
Yeah, oh, no telling.
Okay.
So, based on that, it didn't surprise me to know that it was coming. Like, you were able to wishlist it. I still don't, like, listen, I live off the copium of Silksong. I have been for years. I will continue living off the copium. I just don't see myself playing this game until, at very least, the late fall this year, if that. It's gotta be
fall, or I would say summer or fall, probably like a good,
even summer just feels so early.
I don't know. I mean, they've been working on it since 2019, or they announced it in 2019. So I don't know. I think it's, we might be looking at like one of those, okay, it's like once the announced date is like trailer, whatever is coming out, it's gonna be like soon. And like,
yeah, within, so like 2-3 months
soon.
I agree with that. I think that by the time Team Cherry does show up again, they'll be ready to say, okay, here's the game, and you'll be playing it in a couple months, but
actually this is probably the only like question for the content creators in the room, so I apologize if you're not a content creator, but anyone get those scam email addresses from people posing as Team Cherry saying, do you like, you want to be able to review or play play early Hollow Knight Silk Song? Because I've had that twice now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, is this actually a thing or not?
The same thing happened. I got the same. It happened to me with Cyberpunk as well, where people were like, scammers were like, hey, sign up for this form if you want to play Cyberpunk. I was like, not a chance. I'm listening to you. But
it was one of the only times that like it looked almost real enough that I was like, what? And then, all right. But so, no, I'm excited for it. I've not played any Hollow Knight games at all, but I'm like, I've seen the fervor of it, and I'm just like, it looks good from what, you know, what's just out there. And I would play it.
Hollow Knight to me is a legitimately perfect game. It's a 10 out of 10. I've played it on multiple platforms, which is something I don't do. I don't usually go out to like different platforms, rebuy the same game over and over again, play it to completion, but I have for Hollow Knight. And I personally can't say a bad thing about it. I can't, like, even if I wanted to nitpick that game, I don't know if I could in a biased way. I think it's legitimately great.
So who announces it for when it comes out? This could be like a Nintendo thing, or it seems like Xbox is getting a lot of love for it right now. So
it's supposed to be a Game Pass game or a day one Game Pass game, if I'm not mistaken. And that said, I do think that it's gotten so big that Team Cherry could probably just do their own announcement. I don't know if they need an Xbox. It's definitely not a Nintendo Switch announcement anymore. Because I know a lot of people were like, oh, it's going to be at a Direct. I think it's way too big for Direct at this point. Not really any PlayStation allegiance there. So I think, if anything, maybe Xbox this summer. But even then, I think Team Cherry just comes out and makes their own thing about it.
Because there is an indie event happening next month. I don't know. I don't think they will be a part of that, or they're going to be like, let's just do it here, because it's a well-known event.
It's one of those things where, yes, Team Cherry is independent, but the game itself has risen to like AAA status, where I think you see it anytime there's a showcase, people would come out and they're like, Silk Song. You go to like any like live chat for any kind of showcase or Direct, and it's Silk Song. So like, it just became such a big deal that, again, I just don't think that it's an indie type event anymore. I think it is something like a
AAA or triple I.
Sure, I'm just saying like AAA in terms of its scope and anticipation, not its budget or anything like that. I just think in terms of its anticipation and its fan fervor has reached and exceeded like AAA status.
Do you think, and I think someone's meowed in agreement with you, but do you think
that's why I looked at it, I don't know if it was mine or not, I was like, wait.
Do you think that it would actually be great for them to make an appearance at an indie event and reveal Silk Song, because they are an indie studio? And I think a lot of people don't realize that, that are, of course we do know because we're in the industry, but people who are just playing, you know, casually and played Hollow Knight, I think it'd actually be a huge service to the indie industry to show up in an indie showcase and have it, and then have like, we're going to be doing a dedicated live on our channels right after this show. You know, like, I think that's a huge boost for the community that I would love to see.
I would love to see it too, but I don't know if they like I think Steve, you're kind of right. It's like they can kind of almost do it on their own, but if they did show up at a showcase, it's, you know, like 50-50 whether they're going to show up at like an Xbox or a PlayStation State of Play, or, you know, show up in like an indie game showcase kind of deal, like a Day of the Devs sort of thing. Maybe Day of the Devs. That is probably the biggest one out there that I would say, like, okay, if it launched a Day of the Devs, I'm like, okay, yeah, then it's that would be the biggest, you know, announcement of that showcase. But
there is an event coming up on April 10th, the III initiative, and it has everyone from Gearbox, Blobfish, Megacritic, like Tiny Build. Is a dedicated indie show, so this could be something maybe they could just sneak up, be like, hey, like, the last thing is a 45 minute of just exclusive games and world premieres and demo drops and everything. So maybe it could be at the end of that show, possibly.
Yeah, I think it's also a play of what's going to give them the most eyeballs. Because, again, they are indie, so they're going to want to put out their game in front of the biggest audience, hence why they were at the Xbox Showcase in, what, 2021? Mm-hmm. So I think, again, it's going to be a play of let's go huge into the marketing. Let's make sure everyone knows this game is coming out on, you know, October 22nd or whatever. But it's I think it's going to be more for a service of their own game versus the service to like the indie community. Unfortunately, while I do agree, Camille, I think it would be huge if they came out to like one of those smaller showcases and they're like, this is our last thing, it's Team Cherry here. I think that's kind of antithetical to what the game's ultimate goal is to drive as much adoption and attraction as Hollow Knight did, which was huge and continues to be huge.
What year did Hollow Knight
I want to say 2016.
Yeah.
This is like Wii U.
2017.
Yeah. 2017. Yeah.
Yeah. They. I think, you know, 2017. There's probably an audience there that didn't actually play Hollow Knight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, that they're probably going to really speak to. So I could totally see that, Steve. Like, they want those eyeballs. They want the big push alongside a huge showcase. So. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. Another game that came out during April Fool's is actually a real game, but it's a perfect game. It's called Content Warning. I don't know if any of you heard about that. It's basically like a Lethal Company, but you're actually content creators. And it was free. It was free yesterday. You have to literally record yourself and try to and survive and then upload your video, which you can actually save later on to post on social media if you want to as well and get as many views within the game as well. But it's like Lethal Company plus influencers and everything. But that was free yesterday, and it's like the latest Lethal Company rave of the town right now. So that launched yesterday. It was a real game, unlike Pal World, that went for free yesterday, and everyone got Rickrolled. So
I did see that. That's funny.
Yeah. Topic number two is Embracer is done restructuring. No more sales. They're officially, it's over at last.
They're like, stop calling us.
Yes, please stop. Leave us alone. But this picture of this guy right here, outrage Lars. Of course, his name would be Lars, of course. Outrageous and everything. But he said, we're getting approached on a weekly basis by companies that would like to acquire certain assets within the group. And they've been very busy. They've been very clear that there's no more sales because it's very important. There's a very important part for the group and the shareholders. Of course, now it's an important part after they just sold off everything else. They're like, oh, but this group here, they're
fire sale.
Yeah, it's a whole fire sale going on. I mean, how many people got laid off? Yeah, you don't. That wasn't a very important part. But now for the shareholders, they're going forward with everything. I kind of wish Crystal Dynamics kind of like snuck away from them, though.
I kind of did too. Like when all the other studios are kind of like being sold out, like, you know, like unsold, whatever, or just, you know, going independent. I was like, oh man, I just want like Crystal and Ido. Like Ido, it's like just get away. Get like, we need Montreal. Like, we need Embracer out of Montreal. But no, they're still.
Yeah, I think it's just because they have probably projects at work that Embracer still
probably.
There's a new there's a new Tomb Raider game coming out.
Yeah,
that they is showing off a little bit. So,
and they also have who in their studios are working on Lord of the Rings? Because they have that license.
I don't know.
Wasn't there like a Amazon?
That was like one of their big acquisitions that they made. Was that they basically bought almost pretty much the entire Lord of the Rings IP.
I thought it was Amazon that was doing it.
Yeah,
was it? Oh,
because I know they're doing.
They did the show,
but no, they're also in part with the new Tomb Raider game.
Yeah.
Okay. I just remember remembering it the other day. I'm like, oh yeah, they bought Lord of the Rings IP.
Yeah.
I was like, but that's all I think we heard about it, and I wasn't sure if that was still on on the books or, you know, being worked on, or if there was any announcement made on that.
Such a confusing IP. I'm not sure.
I know, because it was like, it's for the books, but not the movies, and has nothing to do with the TV show, but also the TV show is technically has nothing to do with the movies.
Right.
What the heck?
It's a weird sort of like licensing thing at all. I don't know.
So there is an MMO, an open world MMO in the works from Embracer because they bought the rights for this game. They're working on it with Amazon Games. That's all we know. They purchased, they paid close to $400 million.
Jesus Christ. So who do they have left? I mean, they still have Gearbox on their website, but that's not true. So
no. Well, they do to a degree. There are some projects that are specifically like it's not total Gearbox. There are some things that are still being like owned by Embracer. I think what was it? It wasn't Borderlands, but I think it was might be Borderlands. Actually, I think a portion of Borderlands.
Really?
The Tiny Tina game or something?
So I have it right in front of me. It's Gearbox Publishing San Francisco, which is going to be renamed. They have the publishing rights to the Remnant games, Hyper Light Drifter, Cryptic Studios, and Neverwinter? The Neverwinter support studio, Lost Boys Interactive.
So they don't have...
Borderlands is sold.
Yeah, because I was like, I can't see Gearbox leaving without Borderlands. Like,
no. Yeah, that's like their number one.
Really weird. But my thing is, so they have a, my thing is, it sucks that Gearbox is gone. But from a business standpoint, I think I understand. Tiny Tina didn't really do as well as I think.
The server sucked. I liked that game. I couldn't play it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Even now, would you go back to it now that you play Baldur's Gate?
I want to go back to it, but now I'm just like, if I stutter in a server like one more time, I would just like delete it again.
Oh, that was the problem. Okay. Yeah. I never experienced that. But
I think it's also like showing how like. Because with the movie coming out this year, like, you think they would want to wait on the sale for this movie, but it just shows you how, like, what's happening in the movie world is so disconnected from, like, what's happening in the video game world. Because I think, like, especially how we see with, like, how Marvel's IP is handled in gaming or DC, right? Like, a lot of gamers think, oh, well, because these movies, because this game is going to come out and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, to an extent, like it's still the studio and their ideas as well as what the shareholders think is best, you know, the board thinks is best for the shareholders, right? So it's like that was like very eye-opening. I know you guys probably talked about this last week, but I thought that was eye-opening about the whole sale.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, honestly, I think with Embracer, they're only about short term like goals. Like they don't think about long term because like you said, like if they were thinking long term, then they would have probably held on to it because of the Borderlands movie. But they like the shareholders don't care about that. They don't there's a movie coming out. Maybe we should hold on to it. They're like, no. We need to sell it. What do we have on the books that we can sell? Gearbox. Yes, let's get rid of that. We could probably, get some short-term money from that. That's all Embracer. Like that's been their strategy the whole time. Is that, oh, hey, you know, games are big now. Let's buy a bunch of studios and make games. And then they realize, oh, making games are hard and it takes a long time. We're stuck. And then I don't even think that there was any news about what studio or what acquisition they were gonna make that was gonna bring in $2 billion. The thing that they basically had that shareholders call and they were like they were so like to tears the saying that we just lost it. But like that's. To me, what I think is the reason why they sold is because they sold all the things because they lost on $2 billion and they're like, okay, we need to make that back again. But yeah, they're all short-sighted. Like it's like 100%. So they probably are once the movie comes out and if it does well, the Embracer shareholders are going to be like, well, why didn't we keep that?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you didn't say anything.
You're absolutely right. I mean, from the get-go, this entire hoax that Embracer Group was so set on was all an IP play. It was let's spend a copious amount of money from Aussie's wallets essentially just to get all these second double A studios get their IPs and then just crank games out over and over. And clearly that's not a viable option, especially, you know, coming out of the pandemic. But you're totally right, Steve. This selling Gearbox is nothing but a desperate play just to get money today.
Yeah.
You can see that just based on the fact that they sold it for $460 million when they bought it for $1.3 billion with a B. So they just went for the quickest dollar that they could just to amass, you know, any kind of revenue just for their shareholders, like you said. The comments made today, or, you know, this week of like, oh, we're not selling any other studios, is just with a huge asterisk of for now. Until we need more money.
This week we're not selling anymore.
Yeah.
That's the only thing too, because then it's like, what happens to like Montreal? Like it's Crystal Dynamics, NES Montreal, like it's like those studios that kind of have these legacy IPs. It's like, what is going to happen to all of that? Sammy, I think you were going to say something. Sorry.
Well, I think it's funny because like that GameIndustry.biz article about the Embracer, like CEO, he was just kind of like, there is a plan, not saying anything like what the plan was. But he's just like, trust us. Like, we know what we're doing. There's a plan. It's just like, okay, buddy, good luck.
It's like he's Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like, I've got a plan. I've got 12% of a plan.
Yeah.
And the plan is just for the shareholders, right? The plan is to see those dollars come in, right? And unfortunately, that's what it all comes down to at the end of the day. And they didn't sell off, you know, I think some people may argue like, well, why didn't they sell off some of their other studios that, you know, haven't really produced games? Well, it's because they're not worth as much as Gearbox was worth. Mm-hmm. So
I'd be willing to bet that they probably were like, they looked at like their studios and were just like, yeah, it's not like, no one's going to be able to buy it for the amount of money that we paid for it. I mean, like, even looking at, what was it? Like, I think $1.4 billion was what they bought the Gearbox for. And then selling it for only $400 million. Like, losing $1 billion, that's a lot of money to lose.
It's a desperate act. And I mean, I hope, because Embracer is such a cancer in this industry and has been since the beginning, that I hope more studios are able to go the way of like Saber and just say, hey, listen, we'll give you the money. Get us give us an out of jail free card. We need out. We need to buy our independence and go out and do our own thing, because all these studios, no matter what you look at, Volition, who put out Saints Row, and then it just flopped, and now they're gone. We're never going to get another Saints Row game because Embracer just screwed that up.
Yeah.
And I saw that a mile away, and I called it, and I was like, it's all of them. Crystal Dynamics, Eidos Montreal, they're such talented teams now under this toxic umbrella that I just hope that so many can amass the funds just needed to go to them and just say, listen, we're out. We can't do this anymore. It's not working. It's you, not us. Goodbye. And just break up with them.
And the thing is, it's such, like, if the economy was in the state it is right now, I would have high hopes for that. But because of how these layoffs, these, you know, cost-cutting measures have been plaguing the industry for the past year and a half, it's really hard for any of those studios to get outside investors to say, I'm going to go in on gaming right now when everything's falling apart. And I think for that reason, we really have to look closely in the next few months, year, with these studios that are still under Embracer, because, you know, it's quite obvious Embracer is desperate to cut costs. So at what measures are they going to do that? Are they going to do that where now we are back in this, you know, environment where crunch is seeming like the normal thing to do? Or where there's more layoffs. And I think that is why this whole statement, like even the picture, man, like it just makes me really dislike them even more, just because it looks like I'm the big man on top, in charge of everything, making money. Like, look at this picture.
Like, look at my oak everything I could afford.
It's like with my sparkling water and my coffee at my desk. Plus, you know, I look pretty sweet in probably a very expensive suit. Like, it just does. It loses all that compassion of like, what does this mean for the industry? Yes, I understand you want to get the message out that like right now we're not planning on cutting costs, but there's nothing that I saw, and I did skim over this, so correct me if I'm wrong, that really focuses on the people, of like maybe a message out there that like we're really trying to move forward by focusing on the people working in the studios that we have, making sure that they are secure and that their projects are successful. So again, I'm so disconnected from Embracer in trying to empathize with them being in negative cash flow.
From what I'd heard from like different sources and stuff like that, just from the industry and from what I've been seeing in different articles, is that like at first, like Embracer was very much like kind of like hands off, like they're the money people, like they basically mm-hmm. Let the studio run how they want to run, make the things they want to make, and all they cared about was just the money side. And it just seems that the money side sort of took over, and we're like, well, Kate, fire said we got to get out. Unfortunately, like Embrace, like it's, you mentioned the picture. The picture looks like a ChatGPT prompt for like rich white CEO. Like that is literally what we would get out of that when that prompt goes in. But yeah, they are kind of the epitome of the, in a sense, like the cancer that is in the industry right now. It's literally just, it's run by rich old white dudes thinking they can make a quick buck off of video games because they see it making money every single year. And even more so during the pandemic, they were like, we need to get into this now, realizing that no, games actually take a long time to be able to make it good. And, the audience can love it or hate it. And you can never predict what's going to be like, other than, yeah, there are certain signs of success based off of, studio reputation or developer's reputation, or just, based on marketing, whatever. But there's no guarantee that a game is going to be good. And they were hoping that, they have all these IPs, they have all these, studios that, have a good reputation, but they were like, they don't have the magic formula to be able to make games good. And they realized that, and they're like, oh, well, okay, we need our money back. So they try to get as much money back as they can without realizing that they basically just left a giant scar on the industry that probably will be there forever. And because we're going to, we're losing all talented people that are just going to be like, fuck this, I'm going to some other industry, or, we're losing talent left and right. Like they're the epitome of what is wrong with the industry currently. And I don't know when we're going to get out of it. Hopefully now that they're like, hey, we're kind of done. And, it seems as if it kind of lines up with everyone's like fiscal end of March. Pretty much that's when, everything kind of stopped. So hopefully, we're not going to see any of that for a while. But, there's always stories about layoffs every once in a while. Like even the Gearbox sale, there was layoffs because of just, redundancy. So,
well, due to them, they caught like 1,400 jobs already. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Just them.
And if it is what you said, Steve, of like what you've heard, is that they were very hands off because there were the money people, mm-hmm. I think now, especially for everyone that's working under Embracer, I feel so bad because I'm pretty sure now they have their hands much more on every project because they are trying to make up this negative cash flow. That's going out. So it's not only like the extreme cases of losing jobs or studios closing, it's just like how they work is going to change. And like for studios that have been working as they were for years, for decades, it's like that not be the best environment, based on the example how Embracer has failed to really acknowledge the people side of this story, the people that are affected by it. Mm-hmm. So bad.
Well, it's also, you have to, sorry, Marcel, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, they better keep their hands off my Dead Island 2 series, because I really like that series. All right,
go ahead, Steve. I don't know, man.
Well, just going back to your point, Camille, I was just going to say the funniest part of this whole thing of like, oh, whether or not they're hands off, or now that, they are overseeing more projects, is Embracer just doesn't know how to make games. They've never known how to make games. They have no background in making games. They have money, or a background of money. That's about it. So when you look at, okay, well, what are they going to do to change? There's not really much that they can do other than just hopeful thinking, and that games will start, you know, performing well, or their studios will start performing well. Because other than that, I don't really know what else they can do other than maybe provide more support. It's not like they can walk into
doing that. They're not doing that, right? Like, what they're going to do is exactly like, you know, I used to work at a corporate job, and it was, you know, if the shares were down or whatever, it's like, then you're getting emails every day of like, oh, this is what we have to do. And the frustration of like, you know, if you are in the position, you've been doing that for decades, someone who doesn't know your job to what you're saying is trying to tell you how to do your job. Like, that must be so frustrating. And I think it's like, they just need to put trust in these studios and really maybe have a role that of someone, a department that's like Embracer proper, that understands the development cycle and understand has a real history in games rather than money, so that they could speak to these studios to try to help these studios be successful with their launches, right? And and like, that is something that you're not going to see and then reflect in the next 5 years too, if they were even to implement something like that, because developing games take a long time. So back again to, they're just like hysterical decisions of like, oh, got to figure it out. This studio's gone, this studio gone, we got to cut jobs. It's like, it is so bad right now. It's like, it's just a disaster waiting to happen. And this statement doesn't, I don't know if they were expecting it to settle the minds of gamers. I'm pretty sure it was just to settle the people that have been trying to reach out to them to buy different assets. But this does not settle the mind of gamers or the gaming industry at all. I think it just sends it more in a whirlwind of like, we saw all this go down in just a matter of months. Like, this could happen any month, and it's scary. Oh man,
it just pisses me off, especially this picture. Yeah. This picture makes me angry.
Guarantee that picture was sent to them by, you know, Embracer. That wasn't like a you know, just a random Google search image. Like, that that whole article seems very much like they're like, as you said, Camille, like they're trying to be able to dissuade, like, you know, hey, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Like, we're fine, everything's good. Wizard of Oz. But it's like,
everything's fine here. I'm sipping a cappuccino. You know how much these cost? I'm wearing a nice suit. You know how much? Look at my wood panel wall. It's so nice here. Don't worry about the layoffs. We've got tons of money over here. Yeah, we only employ 12,000 people. We have 100 studios. Everything is okay. All of our dollars are accounted for here. Look at my suit. Don't worry about it. Look at my haircut. Like,
to Lars' defense, like, I don't know Lars. We don't know Lars. Like, maybe a good person outside.
He's not.
In a sense. But maybe, you know, like, I'm just going to put it out there for his defense to be a little bit, you know.
I'll so give you, he might be good to his mom. We'll say maybe settle that. Like,
right? Like, he may have a little speck of good. But my thing is here, it's like, dude, like, who put this? Like, who put this photo out there? Like, how old
Lars.
Is I'm gonna Google
Lars
this
did.
Photo.
Lars, 100%.
Definitely Lars
did.
His personal assistant Lars. Was like, hey, we need a picture, and he's there, like, you know, with his tracksuit on. He hasn't changed a day. His hair is disheveled. He's like, we're in shambles over here. Wait a minute. I've got this photo from 2018 when I was at the top of my game. We were buying studios. I was sitting in front of wood panels. It was looking real good. Send that off.
Yeah.
Even that's like in Lars the article, now. Like the quote from the article, it is not clear whether this means it's an end to layoffs that have hit Embracer over the past decade. And then GameIndustry.biz has reached out for comment and clarification. But like, there's been no comment or clarification.
So with this picture, GameIndustry.biz did post an article last year with the same picture. This is the only reputable, like, using Google Lens, the only reputable, like, news sources, or actually any of these links, have only been within the last year and a half when they've done all these layoffs. Like, who gave this picture?
By the way, even the name pisses me off. Everything.
It's better than his LinkedIn picture. I posted it in the chat.
Oh, it's, man.
It's something. But they do actually have an update or correction on the article. They did say that, you know, this article previously understated the number of studios and employees remaining in Embracer Group. A company spokesperson reached out with updated figures, which are now reflected above. That's what they apparently reached out to, being like, yeah, we might need to make a correction on it. Not anything else that they said.
Not the layoffs.
Well, the thing is, too, like, this is like at the end, putting on my PR lens, right? If you were working for Embracer and you had to do PR, they're trying to make themselves look good for potentially new people that want to invest in their company, right? Like, they have to make it look like they still have something to hold on to. And this still isn't doing it to me. Nah, like, they're not even a mention on, like, some of the well-known projects that, like, they're still excited to be working on. Like, what? Like, you know who does PR well? I will say, for the most part, from what I've seen, the Xbox team. Like,
yeah,
they put out some really good, even when they're going through tough times, like, usually there's a little bit of a positive, what they're looking forward to. There's some detail there. This was, of course, like, another one of those, oh gosh, we got it. The phone keeps ringing. Someone just put out a contact games industry biz and let's just do an article just quickly, throw some numbers in there. So disappointed. This whole thing is so
you know, we're just gonna move on because this guy's just making me mad. So
yeah, I'm looking at
way to go, Lars.
Wait, are those comic books that he has framed in that background? Like,
that's Superman
yeah. one. Yeah,
Spider-Man. Well,
they own Dark Horse, don't they?
Yes, yeah. They do.
Own Dark Horse. Oh man,
yeah. Comics are gonna go away too.
That's what I mean.
Jeez,
run far away from this man.
Stop! Hold on, do not let them own any more IP. please.
No, there's no way that any studio is trusting them. Yeah, there's no way. I don't think that there's a way for Embracer to come back from this, like, get to the other side where they're, you know, net positive, and then reaffirm their trust with any studio out there. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, Dark Horse also went through layoffs too.
No. Not surprised, but geez.
Yeah. Doesn't say. I'm trying to look to see how many. But they were like going through restructuring, and this was apparently as of June of last year. Gotta love that.
Yeah. Well, for our final topic today, folks, this is another positive note here. Dragon's Dogma, Steve V's favorite game, maybe. Dragon's Dogma 2's sales have hit 2.5 million. In the last 11 days, will be 12 days when this comes up. But 12 days, we'll say, which is the franchise now has sold over 10 million. Absolutely amazing. Steve, why is this game selling so well? What's going on here?
I honestly think it's just word of mouth at this point.
Is that the fact you can just randomly pick up someone mid-speech and just throw them halfway across the room?
I think, yeah, inherently, it's still a great game. I think that there's so much to talk about and unpack within the game itself. Yeah. I think in terms of its social success and its selling value right now is just the fact that, yeah, there's a lot of, like, memeable moments. There's a lot of, like, things that you can do to clip out and get people's attention, because for 10 years now, Dragon's Dogma has been such a niche IP. It's largely, well, you know, selling almost 10 million copies over its lifespan. Mm-hmm. That's not that much considering, you know, what Dragon's Dogma 2 has done in 12 days. But I think now it's kind of just exploded into the mainstream, into the zeitgeist, and a lot more people are attracted to this game. Especially what's incredible is that it launched in such a heavy RPG ecosystem that we're talking about. We were talking about Baldur's Gate, Rebirth, so many other games that you know, kind of also fit this mold. That's Dragon's Dogma 2. So for it to come out and have this much success is astounding. And again, it's just a total compliment to Capcom and their whole renaissance that they've been experiencing for quite some time now. But it is a very big, drastic shift of, you know, Dragon's Dogma came out, caught wind of, you know, a lot of people who are Dragon's Dogma fans, but then no one else outside of that bubble really invested into it. So it's really great to see. I'm happy for the team. I think that, you know, the game still has some hiccups, some technical things that I'm not 100% sold on. But outside of that, like, I am at this point now, it's so, I'm so confident that by the end of like this generation going into the next one, we're gonna hear about Dragon's Dogma 3, where we've waited 10 years to hear about a Dragon's Dogma 2 and get to this point. I can only see this being like, you know, another tentpole. Yeah, maybe. Probably.
I think a big DLC might come out or something. Yeah. Something might be announced in September, maybe, or...
Sure. Yeah. I can just see there now being, you know, Resident Evil, Monster Hunter, and Dragon's Dogma as, like, the Capcom's pillars, though.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I think that it's now reached that point where a lot of people are talking about, and I think Capcom will want to massage that and kind of give fans what they want more of, and I think that's content.
Yeah.
Is that the game you platted this weekend? I remember seeing a tweet that you...
Yeah. No, that was Rise of the Ronin, and I went super hard on that game. And
okay.
your boy has to support Team Ninja out there. I had to put in the work.
Yeah, I've never played Dragon's Dogma. I don't know, it just never appealed to me. And like, when I think Dragon's Dogma, I always think Monster Hunter. Like, I can't stop making that association. And like, if you were to put two and two, or like the two head to head, it would be like Monster Hunter for me. But like, I mean, like, you're right. I think this is kind of like the upswing of the renaissance that Capcom has been going through. And it's interesting now, like, how they're defining their real staples, or redefining their real staples.
I think this is because they just throw in what they want. Like, they just know, sorry, Steve, I just know they just like what fans really wanted from this series, and they just threw in things that like, oh, this would be fun to have, and like to have like a whole character creation before the game came out, knowing that's what people were gonna be spending their time on the longest. And people were like making absolutely crazy characters. I made my 7 foot tall old lady. She has a little lean, but like, she's like a She-Hulk sized lady.
Why?
Because she's a powerful, wise old Blanche. Okay, that's why. All right. And she kicks ass. She will charge a goblin, just launch them, and then just for the hell of it, she'll be like, "Oh, here's a high five. You did good." I'm like, "What? You just high five me? Like, they dab you up a little? They will dab you like, oh, good."
I actually left her hanging.
I left her hanging for a little bit, and until I went a little bit close, I'm like, "Oh, okay." I'm like, she'll just be like, "I'm not putting my hand down. Give me a high five right now."
Don't leave her hanging.
I just want to play for the pawns now.
And that's the thing, you go in. I got Winnie the Pooh out there. Yeah. I got Winnie the Pooh as my pawn. He's out there kicking ass.
And that's the thing with this game. I mean, I hear a lot of people say that, there are quests and everything, but if you just go and explore the world, that's where like the most enjoyment is with this game. Just go about, like, mid battle, you could like, I was fighting a Cyclops, and you could literally like start climbing him. Start just stabbing him in the eye and everything. Like, just like, it's it's a lot of like cool mechanics you can do with this game, where you can like grab someone off in the distance and just throw them against someone else if you want to. Like, you literally like shock put like someone across the room. Like, it's a lot of fun, this game. I can see why, like, a lot of the memes, people are like, "Oh, I want to try this," and everything. Or like you said, with the whole character creation, like, "Oh, I just want to make like Winnie the Pooh," you know, like Steve did it and everything. So
I think a lot of it is that, there's a story there. There's a whole narrative, a lot of lore and everything. But again, it's the meme quality of the organic storytelling of, hey, I'm going to go out, start exploring this whole world. My stories are going to be totally different from yours just based on what I experience with the monsters that I fight, what happens. The other day I was going on like this, like drawbridge kind of thing, and a griffin just comes in, smashes it, and I fall to the ground, and I'm in the middle of this giant boss fight just out of nowhere. Like, it's totally random, not scripted at all. It's an emergent event, and it's like, this won't happen in your playthrough, but it happened to me, and that's going to be a core memory of mine anytime I think about this game. So it has that quality, almost like Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom, where it gives you this total I'm going to, Camille. I'm here as a big fan of both of those games.
I'm dealing with limited time here and a lot of Stardew. Don't come.
I'm so sorry.
Don't get me in.
But it gives you the sandbox, and you just go out and you experience it.
There is so many good RPGs out right now that I'm just I wish I could be able to get into it. I don't know. Like, I saw the trailers for it when it announced, and I was like, okay. You're right. Like, I think, Camila, you said it right on the head, because it did remind me of like Monster Hunter. I was like, oh, Okay, even though I knew it wasn't, but I know it's Capcom, so they make the same game. But it's, I don't know. It's like, I keep seeing a lot of people play it, but I'm like, after playing Rise of the Ronin, I was just kind of like, I don't know, is it even for me? I keep
an existential crisis?
I kind of, yeah. What games are
for me?
Like, it just, that's how I've been feeling about video games lately. I just have, like, I want to jump into new worlds and be excited for them. But I just, I don't know. It's just like, I see everyone playing it. I'm like, it just seems like it's just like, okay, is this another game I'm going to get? I have to like spend 60, 70 hours in, then it's going to suck up on my life. Like, I don't have time for that.
Are we drained as gamers? You're right. Because we 100%. Had so many great games, like in the last 2 years, year and a half. Like, you know, it's been crazy. Like, I've been looking forward to playing Rebirth. Like, that's all I could think about before I went on my trip while I was in Brazil, while I was in Japan, while I was in Hong Kong. And then I got back and started playing Stardew Valley for absolutely no reason. And I'm struggling to put that game down to play Rebirth, although I really want to play Rebirth. And I don't know if it is that I'm just like exhausted.
I think it's just
comfort food too.
It's
comfort food.
True. Yeah.
You know, it's the difference between like launching, like queuing up a brand new show on Netflix, or going back to the office for the billionth time. It's just like, I know what I'm going into.
I think it just, you know, it's a bit of, I mean, I don't know if there's a better word for it, but it is kind of like, you know, burnt out on games. Like, we just have so much of, so many games in our backlog. I mean, heck, I mean, Sammy, you just finished playing Baldur's Gate 3. And so, like, who has time to jump into all these, like, huge RPGs?
Decision fatigue.
Yeah, we've had, like, 10 or 15 of, like, good ones within the past, like, since August of last year. That's, that's a lot. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to jump in. I want to play because everyone keeps saying that they're really great. But I don't, like, every time I keep thinking, I'm like, okay, I'm going to jump in. But it's like, all right, I'm going to commit to like 50, 60, 70, 100 hours in order for me to be able to jump in. Or otherwise, I feel like it's kind of a waste of my money because I've spent all much money and like, oh, I'm only going to spend like 10 hours in this huge amount of 100 hour plus game. Like, I don't know, like, it's more of like, it's a little bit of like, I don't have time for that, but also it's just a lot. And I feel like that, I like having those games like a Stardew, like, it's just that comfort food, as you said. It's just, I kind of want to do that. Like, I've been kind of trying to find, okay, what is my comfort food? And I don't even know what my comfort food is. It used to be Destiny, but I haven't played that in a year. So I'm kind of like, that's why I'm like maybe jumping into TTRPGs, being like, okay, it's a different type of game now.
It's so crazy. Like, we're all kind of feeling this. Like, and I think especially because of our work and how we work in the industry, there's a little bit of a pressure to play every single game.
Oh my god, yes.
Newsworthy games, in order to keep up with what the industry is talking about. When it's like, are we just burnt out in the industry?
I think so.
There's just a lot of great long games that just take so much brain power to think about, or decisions where sometimes you just, you know, want to play Stardew, or for me, I want to play just a simple baseball game because it's just nonchalant, going through the motion game, you know, where I don't have to think as
much. We have a triple release day coming up for freaking is it April 22nd? There's three games coming out. It's like
Princess
Peach.
That
was last month.
That was last month.
Sorry.
But that's been happening.
That's a thing,
there's so much news, so much like great games coming out that like while I was away, I was really trying to like shut off social media, and like I'm right now I've done a pretty good job this year trying to go back on that because it's very toxic on there, but
you don't want to come
I
back.
Was
don't
just chiming back. In and tuning in, especially like with our Discord chat, and then I was on my way back when Marvel Rivals was announced, and I like skimmed over that news and I thought it was a shadow drop. So then I messaged in the group and I was
that's what that was.
Play tonight when I get back in.
That
and
makes
it's
sense
just because
now.
I missed you guys. I wanted to, well, obviously the game looks pretty rad, but like I wanted to also just play games with like my friends and hang out because it's been so long. Come to realize they didn't announce release date.
It's too much to keep up with, 100%.
And it kind of makes you wonder, like, because I mean, like, we're content creators in the space and, you know, we play as much as we can. But, you know, it makes me kind of wonder, like, the folks who, like, do this for legitimate, like, that's their full-time job, like, either at, like, GameSpot, IGN, or Kind of Funny, like, I don't know, maybe they're just more resilient than us, but I look at that, I'm like, man, they've been reviewing games nonstop for now, like, however many years we've had so many good games out, that I'm just like, how are they still, like, functioning? Like, literally, I'm just like, maybe it's just because I'm older. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at that. No, like, I'm just older. I'm like, how?
You are not older. Well, you're older, but you're not old, too old. I'm trying to make
it's fine. I understand. You're fine.
No, I honestly, like, even, you know, working on a full-time news type show, before, there was just not that many great games. That were very like, really had depth to them and good quality, that, like, even all of my friends that are working as journalists in the industry, I'm seeing them post and it's like they are very fatigued as well. Yeah. So it's just like now. I just feel like we just whined about working in the industry.
No, well, I feel like it used to be like maybe six games a year that I'd get like super excited about. Sure. And now it's like six games a month.
Yeah. I think it's really bad. May also be fatigued too.
I mean, I think it's like
so many great things.
I think it's like, you know, for those that are listening or watching that, you know, are not in, you know, in the content creator space. Yeah. I could see that people are like, well, you play video games for a living, like, shut up. But no, it is a job, and there are days where it's hard, and it's not like, yeah, we get to, like, have fun and, you know, talk about video games and play video games all the time. And yeah, video games are supposed to be fun, but this is the kind of part of the job where it's just hard. There's just too many games that are out right now that are like, we're having to build, like, we have to play because, you know, people want our opinions on it, or, you know, it's our job or whatever. So I don't know. I think it's fine. It, like, I'm sort of at least a little bit happy that I've kind of had that break for the past month of not really playing a lot of games lately. I think probably the only game I really touched was Balantro and Rise of the Ronin, and that was basically it for the past month of March. But I'm kind of at that point now where it's like, okay, yeah, it's been a lot, but I kind of want to maybe jump back in again. Like, I feel like there's a lot of games that I haven't touched that I want to jump in. And, you know, it is a little slow at the moment right now. Not a lot of huge releases coming out, at least as far as I know, for the next couple of weeks. So, except for Tales of Kanzera Zao, which I really do want to play. That comes out at the end of the month. But I mean, beyond that, it's just like, okay. And like, I just want a breather. That's all I want. Like, just a breather where I don't have to, like, feel like I'm, like, treading water just to keep up. That's all.
No breathers for gamers. That's the motto. There's too many games coming out, and I think the nice thing is that we're at a point now where, I mean, even looking at us, like, everyone on this call, is that we all have diverse interests in games. I don't think that there's any formulation here where we have the exact same interests. We're playing the exact same games continuously. So I think that's one of the benefits. Steve, you were talking about, like, how did these bigger teams like IGN, GameSpot, Kind of Funny, how do they do it? Well, it's like, well, they don't play every single game.
No, it's true.
They collectively play every single game, so that when they all come together each week or whatever, they can kind of just talk about and hit every single game, but it's just, you know, one or two people hitting those individual games. And I think that's the nice thing, is that there's options out there.
Well, I don't know what to say after that, but Sammy, what's going on for the rest of their week?
Just, you know, more game fatigue as I balance playing three games at the same time. But that's pretty much it. Might go watch some movies this weekend, try to chill out as
much
as
possible. What are you
seeing? I don't know yet. I'm looking at a couple. Obviously, well, me and Marcel watched Godzilla versus King Kong, whatever.
Yeah.
Is it King Kong versus Godzilla? Whichever.
Godzilla versus Cross Kong. Because they're teaming up this time.
They're true. They're buddies.
But, like, for what it is, it's pretty good. So if you like kaiju movies, go watch it. I'm feeling like a horror, so maybe I'll deep dive to see what's new right
there's
now.
There's some bad horror movies that's coming out soon. I'm letting you know right now.
Yeah.
I saw two ads and they were terrible. They didn't sell me at all on this one.
And here's I haven't even watched the first Dune, so I need to watch the first Dune and then watch the second Dune.
Absolutely, you do.
I want to go see Dune 2 in theaters because it's like watching it in IMAX the first time was so good, but I just haven't watched the first one in a long time. So I'm like, I want a refresher of that and then go and see Dune 2, but I just haven't, you know.
You don't miss seeing it in IMAX. That was such an experience.
I know, it was a great experience watching it the first time. So, I gotta go in. I also wanted to see Ghostbusters too.
Omen. That's what it's called, Sammy. The First Omen.
I saw the trailer.
I saw the trailer for that.
I accidentally saw the trailer for that. It doesn't look good at all. I don't know. Like, it just looks so cheesy.
I don't like scary movies.
I've heard good things about the Sydney Sweeney horror. Immaculate, yeah.
I know Monkey Man's one I've been looking at, too.
Cannot wait for that.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Oh,
yeah.
There's also a movie next week called Civil War. You might like that one, Sammy.
Oh, holy shit, I can't wait. Alex Garland dropping straight fire.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell y'all something after we're done recording about that. But yeah, that's what I'll be doing.
Okay. Steve Saylor, let's wrap this up. What's going on?
when this episode drops, come check out, you can watch it, twitch.tv/Steve Saylor. I'll be having a watch party for the first episode of Dungeons and Disabled.
Awesome. Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a long work in the making, but it's, the good thing is that, don't worry if you've never watched a D&D show before, or if you have, and you feel like, oh man, 3, 4, or 5 hours, whatever, is not really my cup of tea. Don't worry. The episode's about an hour and a half long. Not even about an hour, 15 minutes. So I kind of purposely kept them short. So you can just come and watch along. And then there'll be like an after show where myself and some of the cast will jump in and talk about the show. So yeah, that's probably the main thing. But if you can't catch it live, it'll be going live. It'll be posted on podcast services and on YouTube at like 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So go to dungeonsanddisableds.com to subscribe and check out everything there.
Cool.
Very cool.
Steve
V? I'm going back to Final Fantasy Rebirth, finishing that off, because right now it's a countdown to Stellar Blade. I got to get through Rebirth in the next couple of weeks before Stellar Blade comes out, because then my time is going to be spent over there. It's just, again, too many games. I got to divest my time when I can. So looking forward to finishing Rebirth.
I learned that in Stellar Blade, hard mode is just basically her half naked, I think, or something
like that. Naked mode,
because she has no armor on and everything. Yeah. So, and that's hard
classic
mode. Because classic. No armor, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to go on a huge tangent, it's just bizarre that so many games have come out this year and no one can be normal about any one of them. Everyone's just having out-of-pocket complaints and opinions on them, and I'm like, I'm just enjoying games. I don't know about you guys, but there's too many games.
I'm just gonna have fun
with them, man. Yeah. imagine having fun. Crazy.
Camille, how about yourself?
What am I doing? Well, now that I'm back home, I am going to try to get my sleep schedule in check, which may mean I have to stop playing as much Stardew Valley as I have been. I understand I have a problem, but I'm willing to change it. And part of the steps in changing that is starting Rebirth.
You don't have a problem with playing Stardew. Stardew is just is fun. I understand that. You do not beat yourself up because you like Stardew. Okay.
You don't understand.
Dude, you're being an enabler.
Yeah. Next episode, we're gonna have a meeting. Meeting next episode. She had a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how many hours are you in? Like in total, like old Stardew and new Stardew.
Oh, I have not been counting the hours. That's the problem.
Sounds like addict behavior.
That's the problem. It's just one.
When's the last time you've seen your partner?
Oh, it's gone
in the game.
It's gone to the point. So we set up like the TV. Okay, so this is the problem. Okay. Not to go on a tangent, but I am going to. So this is the problem. Firstly, we play usually our consoles in the living room if I don't have to capture anything, work, or anything like that. So He's playing Spider-Man now, although I told him to play Spider-Man when I was playing a lot of Tears of the Kingdom, because I knew I would need the PlayStation to play Rebirth, which I do need for work, right? But now that I need Rebirth for work, he's deep into Spider-Man 2. So we have a little bit of a conflict here. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to end up streaming.
Sounds like you need a second PlayStation 5.
Yeah. I know, but I
or
don't
Or maybe
want...
the Pro?
No.
Or the Portal. Oh, no, the Portal wouldn't work.
No, it's not. Because I want to stream Rebirth. So I'm going to actually stream Rebirth starting tomorrow. Today, when the episode comes out.
Okay, all right.
So I will be streaming twitch.tv/thisiscampco. It's been 4 years since I streamed on my channel.
Hopefully, hopefully you're going to be awake for it.
Like riding a bicycle.
I will be awake, but I'm hoping that keeps me accountable with how much time I dedicate to Rebirth. I also have to like really intensely play the story since I'm also recording episodes of a podcast covering Rebirth. So it's keeping me very accountable. And then the rest of the time I'll be playing Stardew Valley. And then, yeah, you know, work pops up every once in a while. So doing that.
All right. Well, I'm still in the world of, I'm in the world of, Dragon's Dogma, and I have like a million games to review still. And it's just the whole recording and then the time to edit. I'm like, I want to play this now. I don't want to sit down and go for a walk and everything, you know, actually get some form of fresh air. But yeah, right now I'm still what's it called? Dragon Dogma. And also, I'm checking out the Horizon series as well. I'm replaying it because I can't remember the story whatsoever. So I have the second game. I'm like, I don't remember what happened. So I'm playing that one as well. So
love what, that.
Yeah. So, and I guess that's pretty much it. We'll all see you here next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. And see you next week.